And then the last of the four is called creative intuition. And this is one where you look at the type of risk that you're going to take. And so now we're ending this interview. This is the very last story that he shares. And he says, can I ask him, do you have a time when you just made a decision that people thought you were nuts, which is kind of what creative intuition helps you do? And he says, oh, I've got a perfect situation.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Sunil Godse. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Sunil. One, at the age of five, he listened to his intuition to raise $200 so that his father could buy him video games. Two, Sunil ignored his intuition, and that could have prevented one of his good friends from being shot and killed. And three, Sunil's intuitive branding services turned a struggling $400,000 company around to earn $3.5 million in just over 2 years. Definitely want to hear more about that. Sunil Godse, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you, George. I'm really looking forward to talking a little bit more about this sort of fuzzy concept called intuition, and we're going to really ground it so that people really understand what it is and how it functions and how they can trust it so that they can start to think about the stories of when it became powerful in their lives.
And I'm so glad that you point out that many people, most of us, think of intuition as a fuzzy feeling. Maybe it's a gut feeling, if something in your gut. What have you found that intuition is? What does it look like?
So when I looked at the research, I'll back up to give you a little bit of a journey as to how I got there. After I wrote my first book called Fail Fast, Succeed Faster, the premise of that book was that if you were to understand and read about the failures of others, then you should be able to succeed faster in a business context because you're avoiding those failures. And when I used to go on my book tour around the world, the one question that kept getting asked was, Sunil, can you tell me the one thing that's going to make me successful? And, you know, I used to say, oh, come on, like there's a 400 page book. I've interviewed 300 entrepreneurs of stories of just failure, but something kept nagging me to go back to the audio recordings to go back and listen. And I was blown away because the one thread that really was through each of the stories of failure was this concept of intuition or ignoring intuition. So a number of my interviewees had said, I should have trusted my gut. I should trust my intuition. I knew what the right decision was, but I didn't take it. And more people were, when they ignored this thing called intuition, their businesses started going in a direction that they absolutely regretted, with a number of them shutting down. But the moment that they took the steps to actually trust their intuition, thankfully, they were able to resurrect their businesses to actually start to succeed even faster. So that got me thinking, okay, these people are talking about intuition. So is it rooted? And I'm an ex-engineer. I mean, I used to be an engineer. So for me, there's got to be a scientific element to this that I was really interested in. And that time it was really fuzzy, you know, meditation and you know, all the kind of woo-woo stuff. And there's nothing wrong with believing that, but I needed to really ground this in science. And so I went to a colleague who was a neurologist and I turned on the camera and I asked him, Dr. Rathbone, does intuition exist? And he said, it absolutely exists. And more neurological or neuroscience research is showing that it acts even faster than we think. It's rooted in the subconscious area and he relies on it for his patients. So I was like, wow. So this is coming from a neurologist who's obviously evidence-based medicine is the reason why he is in practice. So I decided to go into the academic research area to say, okay, where's this research then? And so I type in the word intuition. And since 1990, close to 190,000 articles, academic articles on intuition. And when you pair that with business, that became close to 80,000 articles on intuition in business, because that was sort of what I was. I was a business coach at the time and doing some consulting. So that got me thinking, wow, okay, so there is research in there. And so I looked at some MRI studies, and it showed that one of the studies showed that infants as young as 2 months old were shown to have intuitive tendencies from the type of activities they had the 2-month-old babies go through, which is the premise that you're kind of born with intuition. And so there are other MRIs that showed that when you were using your intuition, the part of your brain that actually lights up, and I'm looking at MRI studies here, is the amygdala, which is the subconscious area of your brain. And so the way that your intuition kind of works is that it acts incredibly quickly, even before we're conscious, as Dr. Rathbone said. So I looked for studies that looked at the timing of intuition. And there were actually 3 research articles that showed that intuition starts to act within 33 milliseconds of an event. And within 10 to 14 seconds, it actually helps you make a decision. And the more that I looked at intuition and where it lies with business success, a lot of the research was showing that intuition is solely responsible for developing trust in an organization. And when you have trust in an organization, that's when your business succeeds. And every one of us, I'm sure, who have had a job has been in an organization that they've absolutely loved. And that's the intuitive element saying, these are my people, that my managers respect me, I'm doing really good work. Those sort of euphoric feelings of satisfaction are actually, it's actually your intuition working, saying that you trust this environment, you trust this organization, you trust these team members, and that's how you're going to thrive. And when you look at the studies that showed this, productivity started to increase by a minimum of 30% when you have trust built into an organization. And if you look at a trusted brand from two sides, there's the internal, which is employees, which I just talked about. There's also the external, which is your customers, those built buying from you. So if you look at why do you buy something, and the reason is that you trust that brand that is making that product or service to either enhance your life in some way or to solve a problem. And that trust is rooted in intuition. And so when you kind of connect all these dots, you immediately know whether you trust an organization that's going to treat you properly within 10 to 14 seconds. And it starts with 33 milliseconds. The minute, let's say you're applying for a job, the minute you open the doors, you're looking, your brain is on super high alert. It's going to look at the people in front of you, what they're saying. You're going to get a sense of the energy. You're going to look at the colors. You're going to look at how things are set up. Yeah, and all this is in the first few steps. And so if you're looking at like us as adults, we make 35,000 decisions per day. That all those decisions are going into the subconscious area of your brain, like a library, which is what your intuition is kind of doing. So when I looked deeper into the science and I looked at the 300 odd interviews that I had, what I found out is that your intuition is actually much more complex than it is. It's an art and a science form. So the science form I just talked about, where there's tons of research with MRI studies and showing how intuition is a vital component in trust building when it comes to organizations. The art part of this is there are things called intuitive signals that are unique to each one of us. And that's the art part, art form. So because it's an art form, the reason why it's an art form is because it's very unique. So George, you and I can be making the same decision, exact same decision, but the way that your intuition will signal that this is the right decision for you may be a feeling of flow. For me, that signal could be the dots connecting. So we can be in the exact same situation, and the signals to you are going to be unique to you, and the ones for me are unique to me. Now, we all have common ones like getting a gut feeling or hearing a voice, which is typical that I hear a lot. But the way that the intuitive signals work is that they actually start very subtle in nature. So you actually know what the right decision is to make within 10 to 14 seconds, if not 33 milliseconds. And so that's how quick intuition is in making a decision. And so the easiest way I can give you is 2 very quick examples. One is if you were to meet someone for the first time, you instantly know whether you can trust that person or not, or you might need some more information to see there's something wrong with this person. That's one. The other example is I'm sure we've all walked into a room and we know something's off. that's your intuition working. Okay. Those are the two different types of intuition. And I'll get into the four types really quickly here. And so these are where the intuitive signals, so the unique ones, there's two of them. The positive signals tell you, yeah, you know, George, go ahead with that decision. And then there's negative ones saying, George, there's something off. You need to take a step back and evaluate or gather some more information. And then once I have got that extra information, if you've satisfied the problem that your intuition is finding, then that negative signal turns into a positive one. And that's when you can start making decisions. So what you're trying to look at is getting all really feeling good about making that decision versus feeling off. So if I give you two examples of some really unique signals, from the positive signal side, there was a CEO that's run two multi-million dollar businesses now, and he only makes decisions and says yes to decisions if he sees this, there's an omen on his right shoulder that pops up. No color. Now, he can't tell his board that because they'll send him to a psychiatrist. But because I was doing an interview with him on intuition, it was shocking for me to tell him that. I've never heard of that intuitive signal before. And the other unique one from a negative signal perspective was this other entrepreneur where I was starting to ask him about his intuitive signals. And he said, you know, Sunil, nobody's ever asked me that question. I don't think about intuition as signals. And I don't think anybody does. I'm only the weird one that wants to know this information. And he says, I don't know how to answer that question. But when he started to talk about the failures that he had in his entrepreneurial businesses, he started grabbing his left earlobe and then it hit him. And he goes, I just realized, Sunil, that question that you had about intuitive signals, I now know that when I make a bad decision or I'm about to make a bad decision, my left earlobe gets hot every single time. And in fact, when he's talking about it, he's grabbing his left earlobe in the interview. And so those are the two unique intuitive signals for those people. And so what we need to do is figure out what those unique intuitive signals are for us. And I'll quickly go into the four types of intuition, which I've kind of broken down through. Again, this is based on science, scientific studies, and looking at least over 1,000 people now, where I've looked at their stories and the buckets of intuition that their business decisions have fallen into. And so the best way I can describe this is a case study. So one of my buddies, his name is John Rostow. This guy was an investment banker, you know, making $2 to $3 million a year, high life in every sense, high-end restaurants, private planes, everything. And I went and I said, well, listen, John, I'm writing this book on intuition. Can you give me a few moments? Can you give me an hour? He goes, come on, Sunil. Intuition, really? Intuition doesn't exist. Come on. He says, I'll give you a time and I'll spend an hour. We'll talk about this fuzzy concept called intuition and for about 5 minutes. And then we'll have a latte, you know, together and catch up. And I'm thinking, oh boy, this could be great. You know, here's my first interview and this is what I'm getting. So I turn on the cameras. And so this is now recorded live or I've recorded. And he says, yeah, intuition, you know, and I was telling about the guy who sees the omens or has the earlobes. He goes, yeah, you know what? I wish I could shake those guys' hands, but yeah, intuition to me, yeah. You know, listen, Sunil, every decision that you have in life is based on past experience. And so now I said, excellent. So now I'm starting to educate him on the four types of intuition. One of the four types is called experiential intuition, which John is alluding to. And as I said to you before, we're born with intuition. As we age, we make 5,000 to 6,000 decisions per day and 35,000 as adults. So if you look at your brain like a library, for example, as a library and like an iceberg, 90% of that of your subconscious is below the water. And that only the 10% of the iceberg is above the water. So with your intuition and you having 35,000 decisions per day, each one of those instances goes and gets put into the subconscious area of your brain like a library. So that iceberg underwater has billions and billions and billions of data points of learning experience that you've had ever since you were born. So when you're about to make a decision from an intuitive perspective, there's tons of experience you've already had that's saying whether that decision is going to be right or not based on how you've made decisions in the past. And so that's experiential intuition. Then when we go into relational intuition, I asked John, so what was the reason for his kind of success? And he said, look, I wouldn't be successful here if I didn't have a team. And sometimes the team can be right and sometimes the team can be wrong. And so when they're right, they pick the right winners and he ended up going into the franchise business. And he said, I don't actually operate a franchise unless it's a 9 out of 10. So my team will have to take a look at traffic patterns, entry exits, demographics, and any kind of development in that area. And they have to use, you know, their skills at predicting whether a franchise location is going to be great or not. So I have to rely on them and I have to trust them. And because I've trusted them, we have gone from one location to over 1,000. And that's all based on me trusting them. And if I don't trust them, I can't work with them. That's called relational intuition. Relational intuition will take a look at trusting someone to make sure that he or she can move a decision forward. And you're looking at things like body language, you're looking at productivity, how they are in a job once you give them some roles and responsibilities, and treating them fairly and giving them the opportunity to fail. And so if you kind of treat employees like that, they're going to love to want to work for you. And that's why he's got longevity with the people on his team. He rarely has people leaving him because they have that trusted, intuitive relationship where they just trust each other's decision. Then there was a situation, and then he says sometimes, and we're going to get into the third called situational intuition. Situational intuition looks at what's in the situation around you. And as I mentioned, if you walk into a room, something's off. And John was saying there was a time where there was a situation where he went actually against the team's recommendation. So there was a location where the team said this was a 9 or 9.5 out of 10. And he went to, and he looked at that area, the potential area where he's going to put a franchise location. And in Toronto, Canada, this was supposed to be in a very dilapidated area. So there were a lot of people just sort of drinking alcohol and sort of drugs. It was not a very great area of Toronto. And his team was going to put an upscale beer pairings, wine tasting, cheese type of establishment. And so he's like, what? Maybe I should go take a look. But his team did the data and they said it was about a 5.5 out of 10. But he wanted to go and say, but I think there's potential in this area. And so he looks around and he sees some development. He looks at the people around. He says, no, I think we can change this neighborhood. And so he goes against the data and says, no, I have this feeling that we need to put this type of establishment here. That ended up being the first location of something called the Beer Market, which was his best franchise model ever. And it actually went in and it changed the whole neighborhood because people were celebrating this type of place to go to. It was a gathering place that was sorely needed. And eventually there was a lot of development and it just thrived. And so this is called situational intuition, where the situation that was presented in front of him didn't make sense, right? From what the data showed. And then the last of the four is called creative intuition. And this is one where you look at the type of risk that you're going to take. And so now we're ending this interview. This is the very last story that he shares. And he says, can I ask him, do you have a time when you just made a decision that people thought you were nuts? Which is kind of what creative intuition helps you do. And he says, oh, I've got a perfect situation. So you have to understand, John was making $3 to $4 million a year as an investment banker. And all of a sudden, he wanted to run a business. His intuition is saying, you're done here. You need to run a business. He had no clue why, but he says, I just feel that this is what I need to do. And so everybody that said he was nuts, like, what are you doing? You want to run a business? Like, look at your life. But he says, no, something's telling me to quit and run a business. And so you would think that his intuitive tendencies would be to pick a business that had some great revenues, healthy cash flows, you know, not his intuition. His creative intuition says, no, John, here's this tiny little bankrupt restaurant. You go run that. And then he's just starting to describe, and I'm paraphrasing him. Sunil, sometimes you can have all the data in the world, but you have to trust your intuition. This is after 45 minutes of him initially starting our interview saying, this thing does not exist. But when I educate him on the four types of intuition and the signals through our hour-long, 45-minute-long interview, he got it. He now understood how intuition worked for him. And he went to his wife, because his wife asked, John, are you sure? $3 to $4 million a year, tiny bankrupt little restaurant. And he looked at his wife and said, it just feels right. That was his intuitive signal. John quit his job and walked into that tiny bankrupt little restaurant. And that happened to be Eastside Mario's location number one. And over the next 20 years, he grew that to over $2 billion in revenues. over 1,000 locations of different brand names, all because it felt right. That's how everybody's intuition works. Everybody has four types of intuition. Everybody has sensed those signals that have told them to move ahead or back away. The problem that happens is that how we've made decisions in the past, we're always stronger in one of the four types of intuition. And so we can pick up on those signals right away. But we're weaker in the other three types of intuition. And so when we're weaker in the other three types of intuition, even though they're sending us signals that this is a bad person, you're going into the wrong situation, this is a decision that's way too risky, you don't have the right experience for this, you better back away, we miss the negative signals that are warning us because we're weaker in them. And then you start making one bad business decision after another, or a decision in your personal life, and that's what gets you into trouble. So what I do when it comes to the intuitive branding process is the very, very first thing that we do is to unlock their intuition by strengthening all four types of intuition and then getting them to understand, well, what are your inventory of positive and negative signals based on the decisions that you've made in the past? I'll give you some examples of mine as a guide, but let's explore your intuition because this is really about you. And once you understand the four types of intuition and you have every single decision, personal or professional, that are filtered through those four, and you understand all the signals that you have because that you've had them in the past, all you're just doing is you're remembering how they've talked to you in the past. Now, every single decision is going to be the right one because within 33 milliseconds, which is what the research shows, your signals are telling you whether that's the right decision or not. So it's up to you to do that homework or not. Or you can continue to fail and flounder. And I'm not sure how long people want to do that before they hit rock bottom. And then the only way to look is up. And that's when they realize where intuition is and the signals are. And these are coming from podcast guests that have been homeless, that have been car crashed, living on the streets, in bed for 6 months. And all of a sudden they got these signals telling them, no, you're much better than that. And then that homeless person becomes a seven-figure entrepreneur. The person who's in a car crash in 6 months discovers her art that she painted at six. And now she's working for Lamborghini around the world, selling her art for $30,000 to $40,000 US per piece. The other person underneath gone and in living underneath a bridge, all of a sudden becomes a huge restaurant consultant in the city of Toronto. All because they finally listened to their intuition and their signals. And that's how it works for every single person.
Sunil, I'm hearing that what we initially thought intuition was just your body reactions might actually be, or according to what you're saying there, it is actually something happening in the brain, in the amygdala, mm-hmm. accessing our subconscious library of information, experiences, conversations, and it happens quickly, so quickly that we can't quote here's the source of the information, but we know the answer. Intuitively, we know the answer, and our body is telling us the answer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, there was a reporter that, and I'm trying to find this clip, I saw it on YouTube. There was a reporter that tested it. He couldn't believe that this research paper was saying 33 milliseconds and 10 to 14, that's impossible. He put a number of people in the MRI, in an MRI machine, showed a picture, and the brain lit up when the picture came in within 33 milliseconds. He said, we're measuring this, look at this thing. And by the time they actually pressed a button, 10 to 14 seconds, he goes, oh my God, like it's actually, he's testing it. Right? And that's one of the things you want to do is in research, really good research, there's got to be a repeatability factor, right? I'm trying to scrape YouTube to find this because I want to know this stuff. I can't just start putting these stats out if I can't believe the research because it's very important for my reputation. But that's essentially what happens. And what happens is even if you fail, that failure goes also into the subconscious because now you're going to learn from that. So as you continually improve your intuition by succeeding and failing, that's all going in the subconscious. So failure is an amazing result. If you failed before, fantastic. You should celebrate that because there's lessons in what you learned from those failures that your intuition is picking up on because it's going to say, don't do that again, Sunil. Just like the person who got shot and killed. I knew the signals. The signals were, I need to talk to her. She was being stalked by someone. And my intuitive signal was saying, meet with her that afternoon. but somebody else wanted to go for a beer. I said, can you meet me 2 days later? And the very next day that stalker walked up to her and put a bullet through her forehead. I'm never going to make that mistake again. Or the business that was struggling at $400,000 because of trust. Nobody trusted the two CEOs. They didn't want to work for them. All the employees were looking to leave. They were 6 months cash left in their bank account. I came in because they needed somebody to help them. Very first thing I do is I increase the salaries of everyone. They were being grossly underpaid. There's a cash crunch. But I said, the first thing is I need to build trust. And I need to ask them how to fix the business. When I gained the employees' trust, we were able to stabilize. And they actually started helping me expand to 3.5 million in year two. They're the ones that came up they spent extra time putting the procedure manuals in. They started putting in extra time to help expand another location, even though it was 8 hours away. They wanted to do it by themselves. And the year after that was 10 million. 10 million in year three. And so that's where they went from struggling 400,000 to 10 million. And all I did was inject trust in the employees. And even for the customers, this was in the healthcare space, we treated them like gold. And because we did, they came for physiotherapy and massage and chiropractic care, and they started bringing their friends. And then all of a sudden there was a police officer. He went and said, oh my God, I had an amazing massage at this place and physiotherapy treatment at this place. He brought the whole RCMP unit in that city. They started becoming all our clients because we treated the customer like a human being and not like a number or a revenue number. And that took a facility. On average, we had facilities making about 400,000 top line revenue. That one particular facility was over $1.5 million in its first year alone. We had a little bit more square footage, but an extra 15% square footage and 2.5 times the revenue. It was crazy. And the competitors around us folded because we took their customers.
And you accredit that to intuition.
It was all about trust. This person trusts me enough to pay me my worth. This person actually wants to listen to me because I'm the frontline worker. I know where the problems are. And so he's actually implementing this stuff. Wow, I feel really good. I'm going to help this guy because I want to see the business succeed because he trusts me and I trust him because I kept my word. And that had us really, really take that business to the next level. And though many of those employees were there when I ended up leaving, I got busy with other companies that were asking me to do the same for them. And so they were still there many, many years later because I left them in a trusted environment and they thrived and the business thrived.
Is intuition, is it more intellect or is it more emotion?
It's a combination of both. It's head and heart. The heart part, the emotions is everybody's emotional. The amygdala is the emotional center of the brain. So you need that injection of emotion. But soon after that, and of course, the neurons are traveling at 200 miles per hour. So the neurons go from the amygdala to the frontal lobe, and that's where your rationality is. So you need a bit of both, emotions and logic, but they have to be balanced. And what happens is when you take the decisions through the four types of intuition, the emotional part it's going to be the signals. That's the art part is what I say. That's where the emotions come in. If I was to try and do a logical separation. And then the logical part is, okay, let's take this decision and filter it through the four types. That's sort of the logic part. And when you combine the logic and the art and the science, you come out with a really good decision. And the more important the decisions, the longer you're going to take. You're going to take a step back to think about that. But eventually you get faster and faster and faster. So I can look at a business opportunity and within half a second or a second, I'll know whether it's going to be a winner or not. And that's because, again, the nature of me, also my experience. I've had 20 years of experience at this. So it's just not something I'm pulling out of the air. I've started 6 ventures on my own, totaled of $20 million. I've helped others start their businesses. I've worked with businesses at all various levels. So I've got that experience base to know that within 10 to 14 seconds, I'll have a pretty good sense whether somebody's business idea is going to fly or not. And for those who make the mistake of ignoring my advice, it's cost them in some cases $2 million, $3 million. Others, $75,000, which they didn't have. So trusting your intuition and ignoring it has real financial implications. So that's where the data comes in. So even though people may think it's sort of this woo-woo topic, it's still rooted in science. It's things that you feel, and that's you, your body, your subconscious, your brain. And that's unique to each one of us. So trusting it, your life will do much better in the personal and professional area. Ignoring it, I'm not sure you want to do that anymore.
And what do you suggest to people to help them better understand their signals?
So the best way to do this is to take a sheet, take two sheets, one for good decisions and one for bad decisions. Take any decision that you've made in the past. Write down what that decision is. Then, as you've heard the four types of intuition, have a column for experiential intuition, one for relational intuition, one for situational intuition, and one column for creative intuition. Take that decision, filter all those through those four types. And then when you're reading that, let's say it's experiential intuition, had me experience, let's say I'm running a business venture in the healthcare space and somebody comes up with a business proposition. So I look at the experiential part and say, okay, I've got some experience in the past running organizations. So I'm getting a sense that the door's opening feeling. I'm being pulled through this door, which is one of my positive signals. So I know that, oh, okay, at that moment, and I can still feel it, I'm being pulled or drawn through a door. That's a positive signal. Then I go to relational intuition, look at, okay, there's this business partner. Is this business partner someone I can trust? And oh, you know, this person's coming late all the time when we have meetings and he was supposed to do this and didn't come through. And if I have to rely on this business partner, you know, I need to know that. And all of a sudden I get the hairs in the back of my neck kind of going up when we meet. And I said, well, that's a negative signal because there's something wrong with that person. So if I take a step back, I can watch that person for the next few days or few weeks and see if that behavior changes. If this was an anomaly and they didn't complete something, then it was a one-off thing. And I'm not going to make a decision on something that's just that happened once. I need to see a pattern. But if that pattern continues, then that negative signal continues the second time. So I get a negative signal and I get another negative signal. I shut down the door on that business opportunity immediately because I can't trust this person. So just like that, you take a good decision and you take a look at the positive signals that you've had. Then you put that sheet aside. You do a second one for negative signals. And you look at, for negative signals, you do two things. One, look at a negative decision that you've made that you actually went through and it didn't work out. So that's when you ignored two negative signals, right? The initial one. And then the second one is you took a step back, try and change that. And it still remained negative. Just like my example with the business partner. So now you're getting a good inventory of negative signals. Some of the other ones can be positive, which is fine. But one of them or more is going to give you a negative signal both times. And when that happens, you have to walk away. Then the second negative bad decision is that you look at a bad decision that initially you knew was bad, but you made some changes and it worked out. So what you're trying to understand in that case is when you made those changes, which one of those intuitive types was that was initially giving a warning and that you got some information or made some changes that turned out into the positive signal? Because that's essentially what you want to do for any decision that you find there's something wrong with that decision. You want to take a step back and take a look at which intuitive type is warning me and then fix that by getting more information or making changes. And if I can fix it and that intuitive type likes it, I go ahead with that decision. So it's a bit of a process, but again, the faster you get, the better you're at it. And so when you go through the intuitive branding process, I actually have worksheets that everybody gets to do this. And I've got, and then this is, it's also based, my team also works with every single individual and I work with them individually as well to make sure that they're filling out the worksheets properly so that we can really kind of explore, okay, what are the intuitive signals that you have, both positive and negative? What are the good and bad decisions? And now that becomes a template for every other decision that you make. And then that's how you can apply it to your business. And that's because now you know how to develop trust because now you know, understand the four types of intuition, you understand the intuitive signals. Well, if you have that, so do employees, so do customers. So if you want to earn their trust, appease, give them positive intuitive signals for their four types of intuition and how you treat them when you hire them. For a customer, your products and services need to, all the marketing messaging needs to touch all four types of intuition because they're stronger in one of them. And those the intuition types have to give them positive intuitive signals. So when you tell someone this product is going to solve your business problem by helping you increase your revenues by implementing this small app, let's say, you're going to go, yeah, because I can get over that hurdle. And that's when you make that purchase.
And I can see that people who are interested, who want to develop their grasp and control and connection with this intuition, going through decisions that they've made in their life, And that might be the career they chose, where they chose to live, their partner, where they choose to work, who they work for, who they hire, even decisions like holiday choices or sports or activities or so just look at each of these decisions and saying, okay, how did I feel when I was making that decision? And how can I tap into those signals? And I think in my case, I remember the little voice in my head when I started, and I have the podcast now that I've been running for over 2 years, but decades ago, I started a radio show that I hosted for 19 years. And I remember when I made that decision to host the radio show, I was being interviewed on another radio show. I didn't have a radio show. I had no experience. I wasn't a journalist. And I remember sitting in the studio and the host is getting set up. And I looked around the studio and then the little voice said, I could do this. I could do this. And I did. And I went and proposed it to the local community radio station. They liked my idea. And I hosted that radio show for 19 years, which then led to this podcast. And it's one of the activities I enjoy the most.
Yeah. And one of the things that you actually bring up a really good point is that you actually acted on it, right? And so many people get that positive intuitive signal. They just know this is the right decision, but because of fear or ego or something, they back away and they say, that's not for me. And I'll give you a case study where this happened. There's a fellow by the name of Vin Jang. And so he's an international star when it comes to talking about your voice. And he used to be a magician, how you communicate. And he uses the 88 keys on a keyboard to express yourself. He's saying you need to use all the 88 keys. He's all over the world speaking on this stuff. And so when I did a podcast interview with him, he actually, even though he was successful, he was speaking to over 100,000 people a year on 80 stages around the world and absolutely miserable. And so he took a step back and told his wife, I need to really kind of go away to figure out why. And when we started talking about intuition, now he knows that this was really getting back to why was he ignoring his intuition for so long that made him miserable. So he goes away to this place in New Zealand, nobody there, no cell phone service, nothing. And he starts putting values up on the wall on these little pieces of paper. And he goes, wow, this is what my wife wants. This is what my son wants. This is what my manager wants. This is where my customers want, my clients. Where's Vin Jang? Like, where am I here? I've been running my life on everybody else's dime. Where am I? And so he takes these papers down and he starts finally putting up values that he wanted. And it turned out he was running the life full of ego, running with the hobnobs, brands and stuff like that, which he didn't really care for. That wasn't him. And so when he realized that, he says, I'm going to change. And if it means completely changing my career, I'm going to do it. And so he goes back. And the problem is, even though he realized this and his intuition was giving him a clear direction as to what he needed to do, he fell back in the same old egotistical life. And his mother came up from Australia. They were from Australia and he's Vietnamese. And his mother says, Vin, it's a Vietnamese saying, when you hang around squid, you're going to get black ink on you. And she said, this is not my son. Where is my son? And he said, that intuitive moment got him to say, my God, I just realized this 6 months ago and I'm going to change. And so he did. He sold his brand, his branded car, he gave up the downtown LA apartment flat, moved out to the suburbs, and he is the happiest he's ever been. And there's a concept also called opportunity cost, which is you're doing something, but you're also not doing something at the same time, right? That's the opportunity cost. So I gave him this concept and I said, well, Vin, you spent 6 months when you learned about trusting your intuition to the point where you ignored it. That was 6 months of your life that you spent not implementing what you learned from intuition or not trusting your intuition. And it's also, you could have in that 6 months, if you would have listened to your intuition, you would have gained so much more of your life back. So you've actually lost a whole year of your life. It's the 6 months that you spent not trusting your intuition and the 6 months you could have gained trusting your intuition. So that's a whole year. And I said, if you're in the business of speaking to 100,000 people a year, how many people did you leave behind because you weren't able to educate them and improve their lives? How many people did you not affect? And he goes, oh my God, I've never, ever thought about it that way. And so when you trust your intuition, you have to act on it. And sometimes there's real fears because you're going in a direction that you don't know. It's scary when your intuition says, go in a new career, meet new friends. It's scary because it's risky. But your intuition, if it's giving you a positive signal, that's good risk. And so there's a case study of this where there's a guy in a wheelchair, David Dame, been in his wheelchair all his life and been to beaches and always thought, I'd love to dip my feet in that water. And his intuition saying, you should go. He knew it. But his fear kept him sitting in that wheelchair until one day he said, nope, I'm going. And he gets, his biggest fear was that he's going to fall in the water. And so he goes up, gets wheeled to the edge. And for the first time in his life, he dips his toes in the water where the sand hits. And he goes, oh my God, I've waited so long to experience this. And then his biggest fear happens. He falls in the water head first. And while he's thinking, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. What are other people going to think? His intuition is saying, get up, David. Take another step. So he got up and he took a step. David, look ahead, take another step. And he did. And another step. And another step. And pretty soon the water was about where his neck was. And then he looked back and he just realized, oh my God, look how far I've come. So when you trust your intuition and your signals, you keep walking ahead. You don't look back at who's watching, who's commenting, because that is not relevant. And that's what happens when you trust your intuition and you get over your fears.
Powerful, powerful story. Sunil, for those who'd like to learn more about you and your services and your books, they can find the website, sunilgodsey.com, and you can find that link in the description below. As we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit with a business leader and someone who says, I go by data, I go by facts, I don't go by intuition. If there's one, two, or three pieces of advice that you might give to them, what might that be?
So the first thing is that I would ask them a question is that, have you ever made a decision that you knew was the right decision, but everybody else was saying that was a wrong decision? And they start, and everybody's had that. And so as they're recounting this story, they're telling me of a time when they trusted their intuition. Or you can even ask them, when was there a time where you went against the advice, career advice, or anything that related to data? I mean, I went into engineering because of my South Asian background. And I wasted 3 years of my life doing that until I became an entrepreneur. My first venture, $2.5 million, because I trusted my intuition. So when you get people to start talking, just like John Rothschild, when you start talking about their intuition, their experiences, their intuitive signals, and their euphoric moments in their lives, their aha moments that they've had because they've trusted their intuition, that's when you have the belief. And when you get them to believe, then they're going to trust their intuition each and every single time.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Sunil Godsey, reminding you to understand and trust your intuition.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.